Well, welcome back to the second hour of 2 Hours of Jewish Soul Music. Again, I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. In case you missed the first hour, we're in the middle of a commemoration for the 25th Yahrzeit of the great David Koussevitzky. I know some of you perhaps only come on to the second hour, and if you missed it, you can always go back to the archive. In a day or two, you can hear the first hour. We started with Bentin Schenker with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. We had a special single recording for the great Louis Danto. The cantor was laid to rest yesterday, and I played... I believe it was Sim Shalom. Shoma Vatismach Tzion. And then we had interviews with Cantor Malavani and Cantor Veig, and some great recordings of the great David Koussevitzky. And during the second hour, we'll start off with a short selection of David's, and then we'll be hearing from his daughter, Valerie Leibler. So let's go right to the Chazanis. And this is David Koussevitzky with Sim Shalom.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, I'm going to start right now then.
Okay.
Well, it's hard to believe that 25 years have gone by. This past Shabbos was the 25th Yahrzeit of the great cantor David Koussevitzky. And I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone the daughter of David, Valerie Leibler. Good evening, Valerie.
Good evening. It's nice to talk to you. I'm very happy for this opportunity to share a few memories of my father. I hope I can do him justice.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I live in Forest Hills. I have two children. My husband is an attorney. I am a past president of the Forest Hills Jewish Center, and I'm very active in the community.
Uh-huh.
Like to sing.
Uh-huh. How about your children? Are they involved in music?
Yes, both of them are. My daughter, Jennifer, is a member of the Zamir Chorale, the chorus that is led by Matthew Lazar.
Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful choir, yes.
And
chorus.
My son is a very accomplished Baal Tfila. He davens very often for the Amud at his shul, Ohav Tzedek, in the city. And his reputation precedes him because when he goes to other shuls, they invite him to daven there as well.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. Carrying on the tradition.
Exactly.
So what was it like being the daughter of such a famous chazan?
Well, there are really two parts to that question. Because, first of all, my father was first and foremost a family man.
Uh-huh.
He was had a very loving relationship with my mother, and he was a very devoted and caring father. He really helped out in the house. He cooked, he sewed, he ironed, he changed diapers, he shared carpool duty with the rabbi of our shul, driving the kids to school.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, last year I met somebody in Israel who I had gone to school with, and she said she still remembers the shock she felt when she saw the great Chazan Koussevitzky picking up me from school. I said, well, he didn't have a 9-to-5 job. He had time.
Where were you raised?
In Borough Park.
Uh-huh.
But I went to the Yeshiva of Flatbush.
I see. Yeah, just a little history about your dad. I know that he was a Chazan in England, but perhaps a little background going a little further back. Where was he born?
He and his brothers were born in Smorgon, which was then, I think, Lithuania. It was a suburb of Vilna. And there was Moshe, then Jacob, Simcha, and the baby was my father, David.
Uh-huh.
Music was very important in their household. My grandfather, Victor, was a businessman, but he was an amateur violinist, and my grandmother, Alta, was from a family of chazanim.
Uh-huh.
There were always many musical instruments in the house, which the brothers picked up and managed to play right away, and as a matter of fact, my father was a violin prodigy at the age of 6.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Each followed the other into Chazanut. My father, who was younger by far than the others, started out in the choir of my Uncle Moshe.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, by the time he was 16, he was the choir leader
for
my Uncle Moshe. And then when...
This was in Smorgon?
By then, they're in... what happened was that during World War One, they had to run from the Russians, and so they fled to Minsk and finally to Rostov on the Don, where they settled for the remainder of the war. But after the war, they came back to Vilna.
Uh-huh.
And that's where my Uncle Moshe became Chazan.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, my father's skills as a musician were becoming well-known. And by the time he was 13 years of age, he was writing music for other Chazanim.
Wow.
And often there would be a knock on the door, and there would stand the Chazan asking, "Is David there?" And he'd pull out a piece of music and ask my father to teach it to him. He was 13.
Interesting.
And when my uncle Jack became the Chazan of the synagogue, he sent for my father to conduct his choir and coach him in the Sukh. And then when Uncle Simcha became Chazan in Lubna, he requested that Jacob release my father, who then became choir leader for Simcha's shul.
Wow, that's quite a story.
But all this was interrupted when my father was drafted into the Polish army. Fortunately, a Polish lieutenant noticed that my father was a musician and asked him to form a choir, which he did, trying to get as many Jews into the choir as possible. And he managed to be always rehearsing this choir whenever they had to go on army maneuvers. And it became a well-known choir. It was so much so that my father was sent to officer school and became a lieutenant. When he came out of the army, then my Uncle Moshe realized that he had a voice and that he should start training his voice and become a chazan as well.
Uh-huh.
Which he did.
Where was his first...
Pulpit was, I do have it written here somewhere. Let's see if I can find it.
Uh-huh.
I think it
was... Was it in Poland?
It was in Poland.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay,
it was
so
in Poland,
Poland.
But I can't quite... Lemberg.
In Lemberg, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Lemberg, and then he accepted a post in Rovna, and word of his great voice and Chazanist skill, you know, was out.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually found its way to London, where he was sent for, and his brothers, Jacob and Simcha, already were in London.
Uh-huh.
With their mother. His father had passed away.
Uh-huh.
Much earlier. And so my father decided to go to London as well.
What year would that have been?
Sorry?
About what year would that have been?
This was 1937.
Uh-huh.
He met my mother in London. Her family were London Jews who'd been there for many generations.
Uh-huh.
And I was born there, as was my younger sister.
I see.
And of course, you know, we endured the... I was born during the Blitz. And at that time, they did not know where my Uncle Moshe was, because he had remained in Poland, and he was, at that point, the chief chazan of the Tłomacka Shul.
In Warsaw.
In
yes.
Warsaw,
yes.
Yes. And when Poland was attacked by the Germans, he escaped to Bialystok, which was then part of Russia.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't know what happened to him. It was only after the war that they discovered he was alive, and that he had been conscripted by the Russians to sing to the troops throughout the war, opera.
I know, that was an amazing story, yes.
Yeah, so they managed to get him and his family to London, where he stayed in our apartment for several months.
Wow.
My mother never let my father forget this, because she was pregnant with my sister at the time and was not happy. Because my uncle would hold court in our living room.
Oh, yes. Gotcha.
Anyway, he came from Poland, from Russia, rather, without a sheet of music.
Right.
So my father sat day and night and reconstructed his entire synagogue and concert repertoire.
Wow.
For him.
Wow.
So that he could continue with his career.
Mm-hmm. Now, your dad then came to the United States about what year?
1949.
Uh-huh. And Moshe was already in the
States? He was already in the States.
Right.
He didn't have a pulpit. He, you know, basically concertized.
And what was the year of that famous concert that everybody talks about?
I think, I was trying to remember, I think it was 1953.
Uh-huh.
I remember it very well. I was just a little kid, but you know, it was a very big moment in our lives, and not only the concert itself, but the rehearsals. They used to rehearse in my living room.
Really?
And I would come home from school, and they'd be there. My father would be at the piano, and they'd be harmonizing and singing, and I would just creep into the room and sit in a quiet corner of the couch and listen to them. And it was absolutely something, even though I was young, something I'll never forget.
Yeah, you knew something great was happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a shame that for posterity there were no recordings or films of
absolutely.
That. There is always a rumor that somewhere somebody has it, but so far it hasn't surfaced.
Well, if you ever find it, let me know.
Oh, that's wild. Now, what was the relationship between the four brothers?
There was a wonderful relationship between the brothers. When the three brothers were together in London, that was the ideal time for them. They were, you know, my mother used to tell me stories because I don't remember at that point what it was like, but they had this very loving relationship and always joking around, and my Uncle Jack especially was full of humor. A real clown.
Oh, really?
Yes. And apparently it was wonderful to see. Of course, they all spread out after that. My Uncle Simcha went to South Africa. And my Uncle Jack stayed in London for a while. And then went to Winnipeg, which he was not happy with. It was very cold.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. He eventually ended up in Kew Gardens Hills.
Really?
Yes, for several years. He died at 56.
Wow, too young.
But whenever they got together, there was they had great times. And I know a lot of people talk about, you know, how much competition there must have been between my father and my Uncle Moshe. I never saw it.
Uh-huh. Well,
possible that in the depths of their soul there was, but I know my father always gave him the deepest respect and deferred to him in many ways.
Well, I didn't discover Chazanus until 1977. It's all a long story. I won't bore you with it now, but Moshe had died in 1966, and your dad had died just a few years later. And
many years later.
Many years later, but I hadn't really discovered the greatness of David. But through the years of all my radio programs and involvement with Chazanus, I always heard about the people who had the good fortune of living in the Borough Park vicinity, and how they would go from one shul to the next and want to hear, well, how was David today, and was Moshe on, or was David on? And there were always these debates, which, I never get involved with.
Well, yes, you know, you could go on a street corner and you'd find two people saying, you know, who's better, Moshe or David, and one would say, well, Moshe has... his voice is stronger, and they would say, well, David's is sweeter, and Moshe's is, more dramatic.
It's art, and it's the beauty is in the eyes or the ears of the beholder, and they each had their fans, and it's useless to talk about who was better. Each one had their strengths.
Right, exactly.
And, This must have been such a wonderful, wonderful period. Now, do you have any interesting stories to tell about any of the brothers and your dad?
interesting stories. Beyond what I've already told you.
Well, let me ask you this. I assume that there were many children, that you have many cousins and perhaps second cousins around the world. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Are the families in touch? Is there?
I must say, the family is spread so far around the world that there is not that much contact between us. I have cousins in South Africa who I hear from very, very occasionally.
That was Simcha's children?
Those are Simcha's children, mm-hmm. Yes. And I have cousins in London, Jacob's children, who I have, you know, contacted once in a blue moon.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's
sure.
Just...
Yes,
and
happens. Uh-huh.
Also, you have to understand that because my father was much younger, their children were much older.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did any of them go into Chazonas?
No. Now, I hear that there are a couple of grandsons of Jacob's who are Chazonim in London.
Interesting.
But that's, you know, just something I've heard.
Right. Now, are they from a daughter or a son? Do they have the Kusevitsky
name?
They
had two daughters.
Oh, so...
Jack had two daughters.
So they're not under the Kusevitsky name?
No.
The grandchildren?
No. No.
It'll be interesting to hear how that develops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's 25 years that have gone by since the death of your dad, and I'm sure that over the years you've had just so many... people come to you and ask you about...
Yes. Well, you know, one area we haven't covered, which is his students.
Uh-huh.
He taught for many years at the Jewish Theological Seminary.
Oh.
He had many students, some of whom absolutely adored him. And, in fact, well, not so much nowadays, but for years... I would get calls from people who just missed him and wanted to talk about him.
Interesting.
On his yard site, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, there was one rabbi in Toronto who was such a fan that he, when my father passed away, he said Kaddish for a year for him.
Wow.
He was really an extraordinary teacher. And people really bonded with him.
Interesting. Well, I want to play several selections for the audience on this anniversary of the 25th yahrzeit of the great cantor David Kusevitsky. And if you tuned in a little late, we're talking with Valerie Leibler, who is his daughter. Valerie, why don't you just tell us which selections are your favorites, and I'll be playing them right now and perhaps a few others.
Okay. Well, the first one is V'chol HaChaim.
Okay.
And I can tell you a little bit of why it's my favorite.
Okay.
Because his family was present when he was composing this piece. We had rented a house at the beach for the summer. And while we were all busy going to the beach and riding our bicycles and making lots of noise in the house and slamming doors, my father was sitting quietly, didn't have a piano because it was a rented house, with his music and his pencil and whistling.
Wow.
Since he didn't have a piano, he whistled.
Uh-huh.
And he, for several weeks, he was... You know, whenever we would come by, there he was. And then eventually came out this entire composition, which he, you know, sang around the house quite a bit, so much so that by the end of the summer, all of us from the baby to my mother who couldn't carry a tune, were singing the refrain, Yeshua Tainu, all over the house.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It was, you know, it's a very precious memory that I have of him.
And you have some other favorites also.
Yes, Brich Shmei on Avda. Anshamalach, because it reminds me of the Sukkah services where every year there would be huge crowds to the rafters in our shul. And we had a big shul. And we had services at 10 o'clock. And as soon as services were over, half the congregation would run to Bethel and buy tickets there for the second show for Uncle Moshe.
Oh, that must have been some incredible experience. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And another piece that I love the way he did was Hashem Malach.
Hashem Malach. Okay, I will be playing them right now, and I wish to thank you on behalf of my audience and myself for sharing these thoughts with us, and I hope that you'll enjoy listening to the program, and again, thank you so much, Valerie Leibler, for your time in sharing this with us.
It's my pleasure.
Ustedes lo saben.
Kol HaChayim, and now Ana Avdoa, Baruch Shmei.
Oh,
Are you getting into David Kusovitsky yet? Well, two more outstanding pieces. Let's hear Haneshama Loch.
Oh!
Wow. Wow, that's all I can say. I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone a dear friend, Andrew Feynman from Manhattan, who has been and is a great, great fan of cantor David Koussevitzky. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Charlie. How are you?
Okay, so thanks for joining with me on this commemoration of the 25th Yahrzeit of the great cantor David Koussevitzky.
I'm honored to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your... how David came to be such a...
Actually, I was introduced to the world of Chazanis through David Koussevitzky by my grandfather, who was a... His name was Israel Rosenzweig. He was a great fan of Chazanis all his life, from the time he was a little boy on the Lower East Side. And when I was a young boy, he used to take me to hear David Koussevitzky when he was in Temple Emanuel. And I heard him many, many times. And this was my introduction to the world of Chazanis. And it's no wonder, having been introduced to the world of Chazanis through such a great, unique voice like David Koussevitzky's, it's no wonder that I am such a fan of it today.
Did you get involved with sort of the competition between the two brothers?
Well, I think everybody kind of did. I think my opinion of it was that they were different. David had a very unique voice. He could take a high note just like his brother Moshe, every bit as well as his brother. David's voice was always on the high range, had a high range only. Moshe had a greater range. He could take a low note, a high note. David was really, the voice was on top. David was a consummate musician. He was, that was his, also his great gift, that he was a musician. He wrote music and he was able to write a lot of his own works and one of his own compositions. So, you know, to really compare the two, they were both great. They were both absolutely great in different ways. I think that one of my favorite pieces that, in fact, you played it once, the Shem Melech Geus. You played three of the brothers, Jacob, Moshe, and David. And Moshe was a great, you know, it was a great piece of Chazanis. David's was an opera.
Uh-huh.
It was absolutely an opera. I consider it one of the greatest pieces ever recorded.
Wow.
And not just by David, by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic, fantastic piece. So, I wonder what, sometimes I wonder what the brothers themselves thought of this competition between them.
They seem to get along. I spoke to Valerie, David's daughter, and she indicated that there may have been competition, but they were good friends.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, everybody who really knew David well, who I've spoken to from the great cousin Joseph Malavani, who knew him very well, and Eddie Smith, and everybody describes him as the consummate mensch. He was a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
He was a fine, fine person. So I couldn't see there being any kind of animosity between him or anybody else for that matter. He and his brothers or anybody else for that matter, because he was a very special human being.
Well, we have the good fortune of living in the vicinity of some excellent cantors, and I know that we share the love today of Chazanis. Of course, I never heard David live, but I had the experience of hearing his recordings, and I could get the sense of how great he was.
Oh, there's no question about it, but the one thing about it, unfortunately, there are not a lot of his recordings out there available to the general public. A lot of it hasn't been put out on CDs, and I'm afraid that as time goes by, it's going to to get lost and, you know, not be remembered. And that would be a tragedy for such a great voice not to go on.
For sure. And many listeners, I'm sure, are aware that this past week, the New York Times did have an article about Mandy Werdiger remastering many of Yossi Rosenblatt's recordings into Od Yosef Chai, into three CDs, and it got a great play. And I'm going to speak to Mendy and suggest to him that he should contact Valerie and perhaps come out with a whole series of David Koussevitzky's recordings.
I think you would be doing the world of Chazanis and the world, the Jewish world, a great service if they could do that.
Okay, I certainly will try. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for sharing these thoughts with us, and I'm sure that you'll be enjoying the program. I'll be playing not most, but many of his wonderful recordings.
I will be enjoying it, as will everybody else. Charlie, just a word to you. You should keep up the great work. You single-handedly have reinvigorated the world of Chazanis. You brought it back to life.
Well, I will say with my partner,
Benny
Rogerson,
yes.
Yes.
Cantor's world, you guys really double-handedly really brought back what was a lost cultural aspect of Judaism. You brought it back to life.
Well, we're not finished yet. There's more to come.
Great. Keep up the good work.
God be willing.
And stay well.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Well, we're coming to the end, and as you heard, Andrew was mentioning that, in his opinion, the Hashem Malach was one of the all-time great Chazanis recordings. And one of the luxuries that I have by doing the internet program and not having to worry about ending the show exactly on the hour is that I will go 3 or 4 minutes past the hour playing the entire selection of Hashem Moloch Geus. And I'm sitting here enthralled by this wonderful, wonderful music. And this is such a great, great selection to finish this commemoration, this dedication to on the occasion of the 25th Yahrzeit of the great David Koussevitzky. So stay with me. Don't go on to the... There's no good news on at 11 o'clock anyway. So, to finish this outstanding dedication, well, in my opinion, it was, allow me to say that, this wonderful recording, these wonderful recordings, let's finish it with the magnificent Hashem Moloch Geus, David Koussevitzky.
Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh Lovesh Kadoshem
Well, I don't know about you, but I was just enthralled by by listening to that last piece, and all of his pieces. What a wonderful, wonderful cantor, the great David Koussevitzky. And this is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that you enjoyed this special commemorating the 25th yahrzeit of the great David Koussevitzky. You know, I know many of you are listening to this via the archive. You can email me at cbjmusic, CB for Charlie Bernhout, J for Jewish, cbjmusic@aol.com. And don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. And share the joy with others. That's what this is all about, isn't it? Anyway, thank you for joining with me, and come back again next week. God be willing, we'll be all together to hear some of this great soul music. Shalom, everyone. Ihr wollt mir ohne Vorderzeug.